with great sadness that I announce our next guest. I'll say it for probably the 500th time. Who I consider to be Gloucester's greatest mayor is with us right now. And she announced her resignation a couple days ago.
My intention to resign.
Intention. It's very important.
That phrase
is very important. She announced her intention to resign. Probably happen early part of next year, I'm guessing. But we want to talk about a lot of the positive things that have been accomplished during your tenure. Before you get started, because I really want to let you talk, I just want to say the part to me, you know, I don't think anyone could ever agree with every single decision, especially a politician that is in office for 7 years.
Elected official.
Elected official for 7 years. Does. But what I will say is, what makes me say that you were the best was your willingness to lead and not be afraid and taking a stand and not backing away from it. You know, it's the strong will that you have and not being wishy-washy when you believed in something.
Right.
You got in front of it instead of, you know, letting public opinion come out and then, you know, then projects just get lost in the quagmire because of, you know, we need leaders to lead. And to me, you have been the most strong-willed and powerful leader for change and for progress. That being said, why don't you talk to us about the next phase came to be, and we'll talk a little bit about, you know, how some people that you'd like to thank along the way.
Thanks, Joey. Hi, Toby. Hi,
hello.
Kim.
I'm sorry I didn't introduce our guests. Kim Smith and Toby Petter with us as well.
Yeah. Thanks, Kim.
You know, it's hard to know and predict the future, of course. And I had certain pressures on me. So we have a son who is a senior in high school. And when I started being the mayor, he was 10 years old. And my daughter was 7. And now she's a freshman at Gloucester High. So we have this big bubble of college expenses bearing down on us. Yeah, I know. And so we don't want to saddle the kids with huge amounts of debt. They're going to take on some debt, but we don't want them to take on a lot of debt. So looking at the family situation, going into a fourth term, where a lot of what I set out to do has been accomplished. And so any new agenda is 2 and 3 and 4 years in the making. And I don't mean the operational stuff of you know, managing the city and handling snowstorms and all the rest. I mean, big initiatives like Fuller development or continuing on a path for I-4C2. We are 2 and 3 and 4 years away from some of that. And I just didn't see myself seeing it through. I had probably one more term in me, maybe. But so I really contemplated timing. The hotel is as good as built, as far as I'm concerned. The hard work, 7 years of, you know, headbanging, has gotten that in place. The school is as good as built at West Parish, and the kids are safe and sound and happy at St. Anne's.
To that point, I'm speaking to the parents that are there. They love it there. They love being close to downtown. And they love that. From the people that I speak to all around town, you know, that like there was all this consternation at first. The people that are going there, like it's like a kind of a shot.
Yeah, the kids
shot in the arm.
To Burnham's Field at break. It's wonderful.
So there you go.
Well, and that's an example of leadership where we didn't listen to all the hoo-ha about that. We were in the building. We had architects come in. We said we're going to have to make some investment. No matter where we put 400 kids, we're going to have to make some investment. And it was a wonderful space. We had an open house with the parents. They came in. The children all got oriented. The staff did a phenomenal job. We were never going to let that community down. And even in the middle of all that, you know, who knows what.
Posturing.
Yeah, the posturing over that. So it's no surprise to me that that's just running beautifully. So those kids are settled. The school's being built. The turbines are up. Newell Stadium is done. The Harbor Walk is in place. We're really positioning the port economy for 21st century. We're getting people to think and speak differently about the working waterfront. And having that harbor plan put in place, it just got approved by the state. And so I thought, I really just need to start thinking about my future. And when you do that, when you're the mayor, you can't time things perfectly. I can't start looking for a job and say,
flip a switch, it's all going to happen all at once.
Right.
You can't stop fundraising in case you're not going to run again, or take money. You feel guilty taking money.
Right.
If you're gonna, right? Is that absolutely. Is that part of it?
Absolutely.
I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No. I once I made the decision, probably over the summer, to not run again, and I hadn't raised any money this year for Kirk for Mayor because there were all these state races going on. All the money was being sucked out of Gloucester, to all these other campaigns that have been going on. So I didn't even bother. So the campaign account is depleted. And now I have to start looking for a job. This is what's going through my mind. And so I explored some things in the private sector. I actually was a finalist for town manager in Danvers.
Wow.
Which I withdrew before it became public.
Wow.
Because I got cold feet a little bit. That was the first sort of fish on the hook that I got when I sent the resume out. But I backed off it. But I was really flattered that I got, right towards the end.
Wow.
Of that process. But anyway, so then you have to say, you can't tell someone, see you in 15 months. If you're starting a new job. So I had to come to terms with leaving my term of office. And that was just part of the consequence of not running for mayor again. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because I need to work.
Yeah, your kids going to college. Boom.
Right.
It's not difficult. So how did the, do you want to talk about how the Baker position came to be?
Yeah.
How the dynamics of how that worked?
Well, that was very interesting because I'm a registered Democrat, but I've never run on a party platform. So I don't run as a Democrat, I don't run as a Republican.
Which I can appreciate.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the notion of just following the party line, as a mayor, you can't stand there with a sign and said, the party made me do it.
It's better as mayor to have somebody who is more neutral, I think. Who's not just, bending to one group all the time just because of their political beliefs.
Yeah, right.
I think it's admirable that you're not just straight down the party line.
You have to take every issue as it comes.
Yeah. Mm.
There's no predetermined filter. And take it as it comes and evaluate it. And so I did that with the two candidates who were running for governor. I looked at Charlie Baker. I had him in the city. I had a list of 10 items. It's pretty funny. I still have the list. What about this? What about this? What about this? And he sat in my office with Bruce Tard. Bruce was really good. He was quiet, and he just let me interact with Charlie as the candidate. I ran through the drill with him, and I really liked what he had to say. And then I gave Martha Coakley the same opportunity, and she sent her her lieutenant governor to see me, Steve Kerrigan. So I went through the same exercise with Steve and showed him around, gave him equal access and photo opportunities. And I just really came down to believing that Charlie was the best candidate by far. And so we had lunch, and we were kind of bantering around, and I said, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't want to run for mayor again, and I'm at this crossroads. And he was like, well, think about working for the Baker administration. And I said, listen, there's no quid pro quo here. There's a 50-50 chance I'd come and work for you because I'm looking at these other opportunities in the private sector. I said, but I'll keep it in mind. And I said to him, I want you to know that I really believe that you are the right candidate to lead this Commonwealth for the next 4 or 8 or how many years he would stay in it. And that was really important to me, that he understood my commitment to him as a leader and not
for the city.
It's not, for the city, yeah. And that was the premise. Those were my 10 items. It was all city stuff.
What were some of the things that? What were some of those 10 points that he really hit home runs with you for on?
Well, it was local aid, and he's promised to hold harmless local aid, and that's really important because that's a big line item.
Okay,
in the state budget.
Explain that for a layman. Hold harmless local aid. Does that mean he won't cut any?
Right. He, in fact, he believes that as state revenues go up, local aid should go up. In fact, there's a chart that shows state spending going this way up, mm-hmm. and local aid going down. So they're actually in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Right. And he's saying local aid should track state revenues, and state revenues are growing gangbusters. There's a budget deficit because of the whole health connector thing and health and care costs. So that was one. The Seaport Advisory Council, which has now been defunct for the last year and a half because Lieutenant Governor Murray stepped down, and the Lieutenant Governor chairs that. Gloucester's gotten $1 billion out of the Seaport Advisory Council. So I asked him, what are your plans for that? And so Karen Polito, the Lieutenant Governor, is probably going to be taking that on. Or there might be some changes to how those funds for coastal communities are dispersed. But we'll see. But we need to maintain our place at the table when it comes to aid for seaport communities. So that was one. MSBA, we have a $40 million school going up. We are relying on the state to give us the reimbursement, and that's really important that that may be maintained. So that was one of the items. The $3 million grant for the Beauport Hotel. We are in the process of getting that money. It's all on a cash flow basis, so they pay us as we submit receipts. Change of administrations, you know, we can't have an interruption there because then we're going back to the taxpayer, we're going back to the water sewer ratepayers saying, oh, by the way, you know, state reneged on its $3 million, which they're not going to, but that was on the list.
The Beauport Hotel, you're talking about the infrastructure improvements.
Yes, for the fort. And the Mass Works grant is a jobs grant. And so that infrastructure is enabling the hotel, which is creating the jobs. So I mean, it was very specific. This is how I am, you know, very specific, detailed list. And it was kind of a pop quiz for him. And he was great. He didn't shy away from anything. He didn't.
So bottom line, the best thing for Gloucester was going to, you know, the financially and everything. You had these kind of almost, do you call them commitments? Or what do you call it? Like, you know, handshake?
It's a pledge, you know, and it's something that you hold people accountable for.
Yeah.
People do it to me all the time, you know. Yeah. You said this. And, you know, and so you get called out on it. And so that's a leverage you have, you know, as a constituent to your elected official or a candidate. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's really important to be engaged in the political process, because you can really hold people speak to the fire. Now, of course, I never made any promises, so I didn't have the problem of breaking them.
Yeah.
So that was very rich in terms of the content there, and I can't say the same for the other ticket. So after the election, he you know, texted me, reached out. I congratulated him. We were communicating back and forth, and I was sort of hedging and kind of wishy-washy, still trying to think, what am I going to do? And
not that I want to ask you what the dollar number is, but do they float a number? What a certain position would hold for you? Or
no?
No. So okay, you're still up in the air on that. Okay.
Well, now I know.
Yeah. No. Back then, no.
Back then, no. Yeah, it's just sort of feeling each other out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't jump right on it, to be honest with you. But then he appointed Jay Ash as the secretary, and he is the city manager of Chelsea. And
also a Democrat.
Yes, also a Democrat. And he came, I don't know if you, at Endicott College at 33 Commercial Street, we had the panel of regarding the DPA. So it was Jay Ash, Chelsea has DPA properties. Mm-hmm. It was a guy from Fall River, Scott Lang from New Bedford, Kim Driscoll. You know, sort of a high-powered panel there, and I facilitated it. And so Jay is very familiar with my work, with the challenges that we face. And so I met with him a couple times, and we just started talking. And the thing that made the difference for me was that, so I was interviewing in the private sector, okay? And it's like, oh, she's got a good Rolodex. You know, there's, and when I met with Jay, he completely appreciated what I've done, what it's taken, what it means to lead a city, manage a $120 million budget. I mean, he appreciated my, what I bring to the table. And I felt really good about that. I was like, I don't get that very often. Right, you know? Right, right. Yeah. I mean, people thank me and people will, but he really saw a skill set of competence, and that made me feel really good. I was like, wow, I think I need to pursue this. Mm. So we got talking and continued talking, and there was one point where he said, all right, you know, this is going to happen. And he said, really, you need to put a transition plan in place for the city. So I actually began doing that a couple weeks ago, and that's how all the rumors got started.
Of course, yeah.
But anyway, that's a long-winded...
Yeah, no, it's interesting to people. Interesting. So, so as far as... can you explain to people what exactly your position will be and what you're going to be doing?
Yeah, so the governor has a cabinet, and so the cabinet is made of executive staff members and secretaries. And there are different secretariats, and Jay Ash is the secretary of, it's called the Executive Office of Housing and Economic Development. So it's kind of a...
Overarching kind of a
jumble of,
it's kind of a big one though.
Alphabet
soup. That's kind of a monster. That's a monster, though, isn't it?
Especially for Boston. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. So the budget is about $475 million, and there's about 850 employees. So Jay is the secretary, and he has brought me on as the deputy secretary. So I'm number two to him, and then there are undersecretaries and assistant secretaries. We're still kind of navigating, or at least I am, the org chart and understanding who all is where and who reports to whom. So I'm sort of the operational go-to person to get things done.
Yeah.
You know, and
not the figurehead. You're
right.
Give me an example of a decision you'll have to make.
Okay, big company wants to relocate to Massachusetts. 5,000 employees. Where are they going to go? And, you know, so this you've got to incent the company through tax breaks. You have to look at the housing situation. If they want to land in Holyoke and bring 5,000 employees, where are they going to live? And so there's that piece of it. What is the transportation set up for? And then you do some interagency stuff. So it's really quarterbacking with all the state resources, getting jobs into Massachusetts.
That's pretty exciting stuff.
Oh my God, it's really exciting.
Really. Wow. I mean, and you know what else? It's stuff that, like, if you make some things happen, that you can really, like, you know, as a creative person, like, that's kind of like, you can be a creative person. You can see things through and have a real sense of accomplishment. Yeah. I mean, you're affecting a lot of lives.
Yeah.
A lot of lives, a lot of families' lives, right down the road.
I mean, if a company is simply going to relocate, let's say, a high-tech company to Cambridge because they want to be close to the university system, there is also the side of it that you're very familiar with, the public transportation, which can get them out here.
Right.
To a place like Gloucester, you're familiar with.
Right.
What is the plus of Massachusetts? It's not just Cambridge.
Yeah.
It is all the...
Yeah.
All of Massachusetts.
Yeah. And so there's gateway cities, which is sort of a term that was coined to bring the mentality away from just Boston, Cambridge, into the cities of the Commonwealth. I know all the mayors. So part of it will be...
Can you tell, what are some of the gateway cities?
Lowell, Springfield, Salem, Gloucester. It's by population. This is one of the things that was on my list with Charlie Baker is, you know, Gloucester's not a gateway city, but we very well could be. We just don't meet the population threshold. So well, let's talk about assets that communities have that can be attractive. And because population is artificial. you know, is a standard.
I think Gloucester fits into a lot of those other
comparable to Salem.
Yeah, it must
Lowell.
Be just
yeah.
a number of residents, but like
right.
Salem's a funky town with a lot of cool assets to it and stuff
but
like that.
But the highway access is horrible. To Salem.
Oh, that's true. Right.
But the highway access to Gloucester is amazing.
Right.
You know, but
they got good rail. I mean, to get into Boston, though, it's quick.
The train. Shot. But that's what I'm saying. What are the assets, you know, from...
We have good train, too, though. We have great train, too. We have great train and highway into Gloucester.
Gloucester, Salem, and Newburyport, I think, are the three coolest towns on the North Shore. Would you say?
She can't now.
I know.
Oh, yeah, geez. Well, I'll get you in trouble now.
Wait a minute, I'm still the mayor.
Right. No, but I mean, Salem's, would you say Salem's come a long way as
oh,
well?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Gloucester's come a long way. Salem's come a long way. Newburyport was a long time ago, but I think Newburyport doesn't have the diversity that we have, these other two communities have.
Agreed.
Well, and the other thing is that, you know, we always fear, oh, we don't want to become like, but, you know, another community. But Newburyport is its own. Salem is totally its own, and Gloucester is its own.
Totally its own, right?
You know.
Yeah.
So another example would be, I've actually met with my new team a couple times.
But one of the key things here is you currently, in your position as mayor after 7 years, you have a rapport with all the mayors and city managers across the country.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't have to introduce yourself. You know them on a first name basis.
Right.
That's a key component.
Yep. You know, what's interesting, too, is that, so what motivates cities and towns is, in terms of revenue, is the real estate tax. That's the driver of for public education, public works, etc. From the state's point of view, what's the driver of revenue is the payroll tax. So the state is driven by jobs. And so you have this sort of challenge of matching communities that are willing to accept development. I need 50 acres to put a 5,000, you know, person company, in landing it into a community that's motivated by the real estate tax and has the willingness to accept that, versus the jobs that the Commonwealth wants, you know, driving the payroll. So that's a really interesting
balancing act.
What?
It's
a balancing act.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, macro. Well, want to talk about some people that have meant a lot to you along the way, some of your team members that may, you know, and not just the ones that are the obvious ones. How about some people? I'd like to hear about some people behind the scenes that never got, you know, they just probably never got
publicly. Well, I remember when we won in 2007. It was, you know, we just took the city by storm.
Totally. Yeah. I remember that campaign. I mean, I was sitting at the Elks that day when it was you and Jimmy Destino and Worthley was there too. And I was like, wow, she's got some really interesting ideas. But you know, does she have a shot here? Jimmy Destino's got this huge name. Jeff Worthley, he's kind of young and hip, maybe. You know, I don't know. He had some cool. I thought he had some good ideas and stuff. I'm like, does she have what? You know, I never saw it coming.
Yeah,
I never saw it coming when you first. And then, I mean. You've made us everybody proud, but I'm sorry for interrupting.
Well, no, so but to your point about the people who never get who are not obvious. So the night that we won, I took the results in my house, and I had 10 people at all the precincts, and because I was advised you'd never show up at City Hall not knowing if you won or lost. So that night, everyone is at my house, and people were calling in the results, and I had this giant whiteboard. And tracking the and so it got to the point where I had won. We were screaming. I had this unbelievable video. I should actually share it with you.
That'd be awesome. I love it.
You know, it's amazing. And so
that moment.
I would love to add this to this podcast. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
So that moment, and then we all jumped in our cars and we went to City Hall and we just stormed into City Hall, and Richard Gaines looks at me and looks around and says, who are these people? And my friend Betsy said, we're the outsiders.
Betsy Works?
Betsy Works.
Yeah.
Yep, we're the outsiders. Wow. And so he put that in that first story, that the outsiders. And none of the people, and that night too, so people were wearing their Jim DeStino stickers and they were taking them off and they were picking up a Kirk sticker and they were coming up to me to shake my hand and I'm like, I saw you.
That's awesome.
It was so funny. Yeah. So funny. Mm-hmm. So it was the people who have, and they have stayed with me, Christian Hoysrat. He was 19 years old on my first campaign, and he just decided. He was a Gloucester kid. He wanted to work on a mayoral campaign. He interviewed all the candidates, and he picked me.
Wow.
And he came to my house for my birthday party the other night, you know, just with a bunch of friends. So Christian, Allie O'Connor is a powerhouse. She raised $48,000 for me last year.
Whoa.
Pretty much single-handedly.
Holy mackerel.
You know, and so Allie's been with me from the beginning. Yoshi Campbell is smart as a whip. Harvard grad, sits me down, beats the crap out of me about my messaging, you know, and she's mom. Betsy Works, a great volunteer coordinator. So she has helped, you know, volunteer coordination, sign holders, and people to work tables, and you know, you just can't imagine what goes into these campaigns. And I was always very hands-on. I never delegated it to the highly paid campaign manager. Roz Frontiero was with me, you know, right from the beginning. And so they were people motivated by a love for the city. I never made them a promise. I never promised a job.
Yeah.
I never promised access. I never promised anything. I said, you have to come to this because you believe in the city and that we can make a difference here, you know, and really held true to values. And so during all those, you know, times where I've had a lot of decisions I've had to make, they'll call me and say, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll say, you know what, here's what else is going on. And you know, and so... And
give them perspective.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, because a lot of times, everybody probably has a hard time with this, you don't know all the background stories. I mean, there's times, right. Melissa Cox is a good friend of mine, and
right.
she makes a decision. I'm like, Melissa, what the hell are you thinking? And then
right.
sometimes she tells me what's going on behind, right. you know, and I'm like, oh, now I get it. But before I had that conversation with her,
right.
it's like,
right.
I was like, there's no, you, what are you, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of times I imagine that has to happen.
Well, and there are a lot of times when you couldn't tell anyone anything.
Hmm?
I mean, in part of the reflection that I'm doing is, you know, you see all the, we all see the obvious stuff.
Hmm.
But some of the things I'm most proud of are the times where I've, like, stepped in and, for example, protected children. You know, I mean, you can't believe how hard it is sometimes just to protect kids.
Mm.
And so we had a guy filming middle-aged girls at the middle school in a...
The theater production or whatever
the
it was.
The theater production. And the girls are half undressed. And the parents told him to get out of the locker room, and he wouldn't. And he went in with a camera, and parents told him again. And when it was awful. These kids are 12 and 13
right.
years old. And
yeah, yeah.
So they fired him. And now he happened to be a former in-law of mine. And I got all the letters from all the peeps saying, how can you, you know, I got, you know, in the newspaper, this and that. And I was like, look. No,
this is
unacceptable.
Right, right.
So he goes off and works on my opponent's campaign the next time around, you know?
Mm.
And so that's the stuff that would happen. And I'd say to myself, why, how is this so hard? The West Parish after-school program, we had the issue there. And there we couldn't talk about what it was. There was a police investigation going on. We couldn't talk about what was going on. I called the superintendent and I said, this program is shut down today.
Mm.
And he was like, I said, I will go to that school tonight, call the parents in with the police chief, and we're going to just say, you need to trust us on this.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 60 parents saying, you just canceled my daycare. And I'm like, you know what?
I'm sorry about that, but right. yeah, you got to trust me on this one.
You know, and, yeah. and so, and I was always amazed at how hard it was sometimes. Mm-hmm.
to do the right thing.
Oh my God, we had a coach. We had a coach who the parents had a complaint against him. They contacted the chairman of the school committee and the superintendent. They didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know about it. No one else knew about it. The coach gets reappointed. Mm-hmm. Parents go crazy. Contact me. I'm like, what's this? Mm-hmm. And right. I haul everyone into my office. I'm like, he's gone. Mm-hmm. You know, this is unacceptable. Yeah. And so...
Kids first.
I'll tell you.
But I'm like, I would tear my hair out.
Why did it take so long to get to you?
Why was it not obvious to everyone else?
Right.
But I shouldn't even have to get to that.
Right.
But see, that's where I get. So people see the output, right?
Yeah.
She's, you know, blah, and I'm like, guys.
Trust me on this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Leader have to be leader. I'll tell you another thing that I really thought was awesome. Your hires for your police chief and your fire department,
yeah,
going outside of the system. I'm not saying you have to go outside of the system, but I think every people that I speak to would tell you that they were both great hires. I think Len is fantastic.
Yeah.
Campanello.
Yeah.
Police chief and Eric Smith.
Oh my God.
Great. Yeah.
Think about what it took to get the fire chief.
Every day in the paper, that was the story about.
They turned their back on me at Memorial Day.
Yeah, that was pretty.
Remember that? About that. Now I remember.
You know, and I'm sitting there going, okay, this is what I like, right? Now you've got my attention. Now I'm motivated because I'm, you know, very competitive. I will win.
It takes a strong person.
Oh my God. Oh, some of the stuff has been just, you know, but Eric Smith.
You've enjoyed it.
I have put everything into it. I left nothing on the table. Mm-hmm. And so, but it comes at a cost. It really does. It comes at a cost in terms of time with family, health, you know, just.
What are the qualities that we should look for in the next mayor? What type of person?
All right. When I told Dr. Sapphire, the superintendent of schools, that I was leaving, he said to me, and this is the highest compliment that I've gotten, is, with you, yes was yes and no was no.
Mm. Right.
And I when he said, I don't always like hearing no, but I could plan accordingly. I could, and if, when you said yes, I could take it to the bank. And so the quality, you can't waffle. You can't say, you know, five people are standing in front of me screaming at me, and I'm going to forget about the thousand that are not saying anything that really share the values of what they want to see for the city. You have to be able, you have to believe that your decisions are what's best for the city. Right. And if you have that, you know, you don't get shaken from it. I changed my mind a couple times on some things, like when we changed the route of the parade. Oh my God! Oh yeah, you know, and that, because my staff said this is, and I said go work it out. You know, and I empowered my staff to go make that be successful, and it completely blew up. And he came into my, so channel 4 and 5 is on the way. I called him into my office. I said, you're going to sit here with me. I said, you have no veterans who are supporting this little change in plans. I'm getting called the communist pinko mayor on every single military website you can imagine.
How about the rainbow flag issue?
Oh my flag. God.
That was an alone, right?
You know what? Part of, and I'm sorry, you got me on a roll here, Joey.
I didn't want you to, I wanted this to be completely upbeat and talk about all the awesome stuff.
Fun.
No, it is good. I don't want you to get in trouble. You know, that's all.
Joey, this is about leadership. Right. The rainbow flag. I think we live in a world where gay marriage is acceptable and we fly rainbow flags. Oh. I didn't think twice about it.
Right, you thought, right, in this day and age.
Right.
Really?
Oh, yeah. My God. And so in the course of my 7 years, I've written over 200 columns, my mayor's desk columns, which I have loved doing. My favorite column that I ever wrote was about the rainbow flag, saying, this is why we need to fly rainbow flags.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. I loved it.
That was awesome.
I should mention, I have to apologize to Sean Horgan from the Gloucester Daily Times and the Gloucester Daily Times. For the Gloucester Times ran the announcement of your resignation, and out of my frustration, because we were going to do a podcast about this last week,
right.
Nothing to do with you, my schedule wouldn't allow it, and I had a long day at work, and the news came out in the Times, and my headline was, you know, for the worst kept secret.
I thought it was humorous.
For the worst kept secret, go check out the Gloucester Daily Times for the mayor's resignation announcement. And it had nothing to do with that I didn't think that the Times should report it. Of course they should report it, it was not in any way, shape, or form meant to be a slight against the Times or Sean Horgan. It was written out of my own frustration that I didn't get to do the podcast last week, even though it was offered to me. So sorry, Sean, if you took it that way. I hope you read this
and accept my
apology. Yeah.
Jump in on that. Is they did an amazing job, because I called that. Well, I was driving back up from Washington, D.C. Bill's driving. I'm on the phone tapping with one finger out my message. I said, I have to get this message out today.
Yeah.
So I got it to the Times probably by 10:30, 11 o'clock, which was late. They pulled off that whole Saturday paper. They had the timeline.
Yeah, the timeline.
They did a comprehensive story. You know, they got some nice photos.
Yeah.
I thought they did a great job pulling off, given the time frame that they had to work with from the time they got my email.
And well, you know, that shows how important what the story was and how important you were, because normally on the weekends they don't rearranged that much stuff, and they really did an excellent effort.
They did, and I think, I don't know, there's something still to be said for print journalism.
100%. I'm all in on it. I say it all the time, and this is something that Sean must not follow the blog, and that's fine, but I consistently have written on the blog how Good Morning Gloucester is fluff. You know, and we break some stories, but we're editorializing everything, and 3/4 of what we're saying is satire and joking. And what the Times does is very important to keep elected officials.
Right.
I said right that time. honest. You know what I mean? Because without a balanced journalism, you know, that have those protections and everything else.
Right.
And you oftentimes provide links to the stories.
I constantly link to their website and tell people they should pay to buy it.
We get our little paper every day,
so,
and we love it.
I don't want to dwell on that.
I bought 10 copies from yesterday.
Very nice. Very nice.
Well, you can have ours too. I would put it in the recycle.
A
few years from now, those extra copies will be.
Yeah.
But is there anything you want to say in closing? Is there any?
Well, you know, I want to say I've enjoyed being the mayor, but I have enjoyed in the sense of I've appreciated the support of the community. I mean, I can't even tell you that how much that has sustained me through the darkest days, through the best of times. The community has always come out and supported me in the sense of I've been given money for Kirk for Mayor. I have had volunteers always for the campaigns, and I've gotten the vote. So, that's what I'm most proud of. I can't point to one thing. I can only point to the fact that I never lost the support of the community, and that's really important to me.
I think over the course of your campaigns, I think I've written you 3 or 4 times saying in your dark time, in some of your darkest hours, saying, "Listen, keep your head up."
Yeah.
You know, I think you're doing a great job, and I don't know if you ever, because during those times your head is probably spinning.
Right.
But I remember writing.
No, I remember, and that's the kind of thing that sustains me, Joey. Yeah. You know, is because you don't know what people's motivations are all the time when they come at you.
I'm sure you hear.
Well, now you're going to really know.
More.
No, now
I'm sure you hear 1,000% more from the negative people than you do from the people who yeah. are all of the community supporting.
Right.
So, well, now you're yeah. really going to know people's motivations. So once you are officially retired, then you know the detractors come out of the people that would kiss your ass in a meeting because right. they're trying to get something from right. you, and then they go and right. write something on an online message board, some you know thing like really? Because whenever I saw you in front of her, you were big smile on your face, shaking her hand.
Right.
And now that she's not running, and now you're talking like that.
That doesn't happen too much.
I said to someone that, one of my big fears is I lose all my friends after I'm the mayor.
Hell no.
And they said, oh no, with this job, you're going to have a lot more friends. I was like, okay, I don't know how to take that.
I think you've always been fun, though, like especially at the block parties, you've always been accessible. We have a drink together and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's been nice. We've had a great time.
Yeah.
You got to get yourself a little dog, though. Keep you company through this whole transition.
Take them on the beach odd and even days.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming in. I wish you nothing but the best. If there's anything we can do, and your legacy, as far as we're concerned, is as the best mayor we've speaking for myself, the best mayor we've ever had. So,
Joey, thank you, and thank you for what you do for the community. Good Morning Gloucester is that counterbalance that we need in keeping a positive tone, because that people get behind positive messages.
I agree.
As easily as they can get behind other kinds of messages. Mm-hmm. So you are a change maker and a difference maker in this city.
Thank you.
I thank you for that.
All right. There it is. Carolyn, Mayor Carolyn Kirk for who knows how long, but it's been fun. Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you.